Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
This is Another Money Show. Get set for another hour of the latest financial information and economic news affecting your bottom line. JR and Anthony are committed to helping more Americans like you optimize their income, reduce their tax risk, and reach financial freedom. So let's start the show. Here are your hosts, Anthony Correo and JR Rochford.
Here we are, your hosts, Anthony Correo and J.R. Rochford, taking a break from our day-to-day as financial advisors with Rochford & Associates, a fully independent, fourth-generation family office right here in the greater Phoenix area. We are taking this time to bring you information you may not hear on those other financial shows. We are aware the last thing you need is another money show, but we appreciate you being here, and we got some fun stuff for you this week. We'll go over some new terms we've been learning about the latest issue with the market. But as of today, we are recording 8-8, and it looks like it's coming back up. No harm, no foul. Let's just freak out for no reason and throw a bunch of, talk about all the stuff that Bitcoin's losing and how we've got to get the government involved because we can't be losing all this fake money. It's uncalled for. We can't just build up balloons and then let them explode. No, it's unacceptable. The stock market only goes up. And that is all you need. That's it. We're done. We're out today. You learned everything you needed to.
This is amazing. I am having a good time today. So, Anthony, that is the most I've let you say in, 6 months now?
And good. You and did a wonderful job. Entire episode's worth of knowledge. Actually, that could be an entire season's worth. We're just going to play that clip on repeat through the end of the year. Stocks only go up, just buy more. And if things go down at all, just throw a fit and then the government will bail you out. It's fine. We have lots of money. We've got $1 trillion coins now to bail out the market.
That is, it really is, as much as I'm trying not to laugh out loud, as the kids say, I'm trying not to LOL. It's so funny because that is spot on. The market, what are we going to do? We talked on Monday, after the big bloodbath on Monday, we talked about an emergency rate cut. And I was like, first of all, a couple of things about that. Who got us into this mess? If you're not a fan of inflation, and obviously I am, because I think $2 gas is just, it's dumb. I want $4 gas at a minimum at all times. I just feel like it's better. So, but if you're not a fan of inflation, so who do you think caused that? During COVID, when everything was kind of uncharted, I would call that the biggest black swan event in the history of the world, not just our country. And during COVID, what did the government do about it? They told me, I cannot go to church. I can go to the casino. I can go to Walmart as long as I follow the arrows. Like, every Walmart became an IKEA. You go that way and somebody's going to tap you on the shoulder. But they start sending out checks. You keep me at home and then you send me money. You're already, I don't know what it was at the time. Who knows? I can figure it out. But 25, whatever, trillion in debt. And you're going to send out massive amounts of money. There was massive amounts of fraud. The PPP loan, the fraud. One of the basketball teams, I don't know if it was the Lakers who it was. I think it was in California, of course. So one of those teams, they applied for like $4.6 million. Were you guys hurting? Were the basketball teams hurting? And they got it? So I don't know what a crime.
Yeah,
so
when city pays for your stadiums and you just keep the profit from everything. Yeah, no, they've got a rough business plan over there.
But the owners, they have to have boats and helicopters and stuff because it's not an easy life to watch basketball for part of the year. So anyway,
now
so you
can stop spending the money on tickets, season
and
tickets.
And they never will. They never will
do that.
It's dumb. It's just dumb. So back to other people's dumbness. So, what did you expect to happen? So the same people that made the inflation happen. And yes, there's corporate greed. There's all kinds of factors we can talk about. They're the people you trust to bring it back into control. You know, the target rate is 2%. We're never going to have 2% again in this country, I'm pretty sure. You know, now we're talking about two rate cuts, one in September, one in December. Oh, you know, around the election time. We're going to sandwich the election with rate cuts. But anyway.
No, we're going to go to another 15 years of 0% interest. Maybe another 50 or 100 years, because we've built this model so far that it can only grow if it's free. Free money. Free money to inflate the stock market.
You're absolutely right, Anthony. We are going back to a 0% interest rate. We're going to go back to quantitative easing 73. We're going to start printing money again. I mark my words. You know what the difference is between this time and last time when we learned about, we got verbiage like fiscal cliff, too big to fail. You know what? The rest of the world has grown tired of our superiority, our ridiculous fiat currency. So the BRICS nations are going to ensure that we don't go forever with printing money and 0% interest, but that's the way we're going. I mean, look at Japan. What a cluster, you know what this whole thing is. But Anthony, you said something interesting. In your monologue, you said something, you said the word balloon. Right away, I picture the two Chinese balloons that went across our country. Apparently, one was shot down right by my friend Doug and Leilani's home in South Carolina. Is it South Carolina or North Carolina? I can never remember the two. We need another civil war and split up the Carolinas. I think we need to divide the Carolinas more. So anyway, apparently one of them went down where within sight distance of their condo there. And if you want a vacation,
check that out. This is a recent balloon. Like, this is a new
second one.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Well, not that recent, a few months ago. But yeah, I mean, some of those things don't really make it to the news as much because, you know, who cares? But anyway, if you're looking for a condo to rent, I don't know if it's North or South Carolina, but I've seen the pictures. It's absolutely gorgeous. So reach out to us and we'll hook you up with Doug and Leilani and you can have a nice vacation spot. Not right now, though. Don't go this week because Hurricane, whatever it is. What is it? Debbie? Hurricane Debbie? I love the names. This was just Debbie. I mean, come on. How much harm can Debbie do? Debbie does Virginia. So right now it's kind of a mess there. A lot of rain and stuff. But back to your monologue, which, by the way, that was really good. And you were absolutely correct. And this is all a crock. You know what? It's highly manipulated. And I don't just mean because the Dow Jones Industrial Average is only 30 companies. And I don't just mean because high-frequency trading computers, look that one up, have replaced human beings and their ability to size up stocks and bonds. So it's 100%. A keystroke can change Monday's severe downturn into a happy thing. You know, I mean, I looked like you did. I looked right before we went on the show. Dow was up almost 600 points. So Monday is gone. Remember during
COVID?
They
needed that emergency drop in interest rates because everything is collapsing when the market goes down for a day.
Well, and they didn't do it yet. They didn't do the emergency rate cut. I'm sure they would have if we had two more days of down trading. I'm always reminding people, you know, you need to look up certain terms we give you on the show. So, you know, we have some credibility, not much, but some. You need to look up the plunge team. You need to understand. And this has happened over the years. If the market goes up, let's say today, the Dow Jones, the S&P, is where the plunge team has, you know, been executed. If it goes up 20% today, you do realize it goes up 20% today. Your 401k is going to look nicer tomorrow. Your ETF, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, everything is going to be joyous tomorrow. If it goes down 20%, they stop trading. The government has a thing called the plunge team. Sounds like they're plunging a toilet to me, but that's just me thinking outside the bowl. So the plunge team, if the market plunges, they stop trading. I don't remember the details. I think it's like 15 minutes. Then they open up trading again. If it plummets again, they stop it again. And then I think after the third stop, they shut the market down for the day. And that's what you're calling a free market. So good on you if you think this is all righteous. But Anthony, you brought up a coin, and I think people need to know about this. I've heard about it before, quite frankly, I forgot about it. I have not heard about it in the last 2.5 years. And since we've been doing the show, things have gotten exponentially more dire in this country in our financial markets. Anyway, so if you want to read a little bit about this, look up one of our favorite sources because they're clear, they're concise, and they cite their sources. Look up the Daily HODL on August 3rd. The name of this, $1 trillion platinum coin to avoid default discussed at highest levels of the U.S. from a government report. So a newly released document from inside the U.S. government confirmed the existence of a high-level legal discussions on whether the Treasury Department can and should create a $1 trillion platinum coin. Okay. I mean, if they're looking, if the government, Jerome, Janet, Joe, is Joe still in charge? Do you want some input on this? Aren't we already the laughing stock of the globe? Our currency, our ridiculousness. So you're gonna create a platinum coin, and you're gonna say it's worth $1 trillion. I maybe don't. You know, the other thing is, I have an idea for you because apparently this is a real thing. They really are looking at this. How about you create a $50 trillion platinum coin instead of one? Hear me out. My logic, right now we're at $35 trillion. So if you produce a $50 trillion coin, then we can get change. We can get back in the green as a country. See where I'm going with that, Anthony? Why would you stop at $1 trillion? And then you need 35.
Yeah, I do think that's funny because it's like, what does $1 trillion do when you're 35 in debt? And was that like a $3 trillion deficit annually now?
You can cover
a third of it by creating more debt.
Oh, and we're 76% of our income taxes goes to the interest on the $35 trillion, and we're doing a new trillion every roughly quarter, every, 100 and something days? This is insane. So do you think the rest of the world will accept our $1 trillion coin? I bet it's going to be big and heavy. Who's the rapper that wears a clock around his chest? I always just thought it was funny. It's like you stand out. Flavor Flav. Yeah, our country is going to be the Flavor Flav of financial countries. So I love having a young coworker, partner, radio show co-host because you know those things. I was like, is it Snoop Dogg?
I was a rapper in the 80s, so you should know. But anyways, so that article, it's from essentially from a Bloomberg article. Jason Leopold used the Freedom of Information Act to reach out for any documents that talk about this coin, because I know we've mentioned it in the past and it's always kind of jokingly and thinking nobody actually has referred to this at all. However, with this packet that he got with, again, the Freedom of Information Act, there have been legal discussions since 2013 about this document. Or not about this document, but about printing a coin. And it's really funny because he's got documents from, 13, 15, 21, up to 2023. So just recently when we were hitting the debt ceiling again. However, when you look through the actual documents that they send him, so much of it has been retracted. This is a memorandum from November 26, 2013. It is called the authority of the Secretary of Treasury to issue a large denomination platinum coin. And it reads for about one paragraph and then the rest is blacked out. And then the page two is all blacked out. And then page three, guess what? Also blacked out. And looks like there's a page four titled Debt Ceiling Issues blacked out. And then page two of that is blacked out, and then page three of that is blacked out, and then page four of it is blacked out. But then, luckily, we've got stuff from October 27th, 2015, advice to Treasury Department regarding debt ceiling issues, and we've got a small paragraph that says that this was a conversation discussion between the Deputy Assistant Attorney General, the Deputy Assistant Attorney General, the deputy advisor, and the Department of Treasury as related to also blacked out The possibility, because of a failure to raise the statutory debt ceiling, Treasury will be insignificant funds available to satisfy all outstanding obligations as they come. We have previously advised Treasury that has been blacked out. In addition, 2011, we've done preliminary research to something that was blacked out. In a recent phone conversation, Treasury staff has described as blacked out. We informed the Treasury that blacked out for another page. So a lot of real good information out there on what it is that they're actually going to do to figure out how to fix $35 trillion in debt. And this was 15 years ago. They're like, oh, we have a debt problem. And that was when we had half the debt that we have now.
Well, and what's amazing to me is redact all you want, you know, have pages missing. I've got two thoughts on this. One, having served in the military, I'm very familiar with the term need to know basis. I don't need to know when we're going to strike Iran. I don't need to know certain things. That's why we have elected representatives and officials that are smarter than me and can handle the affairs of the country. I don't need to know if you're working on a coin, because you know what we're doing? We are making a mockery of your coin because it's absolutely ridiculous. And the fact that you've been working on it since 2013 and you're still working on it and it's not going to matter because it's just the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I don't need to know about this. I'm sad that I know about this. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. So, and I mean,
consolidate the debt. We'll just be in the debt to Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos. We'll have them buy it all up in there.
With the financial market, Anthony, you're absolutely right. They can manipulate the crap out of it. We told you last week, Warren Buffett, presumably one of the smarter investors on the planet, Warren Buffett has a record amount of cash right now. I believe it's $277 billion. He's never had that. He's sold a ton of B of A stock, a ton of Apple stock. He's not a not smart man. He is a smart man. He's telling you what's going on. So I don't know. This is insane. Anyway, with the coin.
This is new. I mean, not necessarily new, because we've said that many times on this show, because articles come out with him going to cash. He's notorious for hating cash. But over the last 4 or 5 years, he's been heavy and just bumping that up more because he knows that none of this makes sense.
He does hate cash. He loves being invested. He thinks there's always value. He's a value buyer. He looks for companies that has low risk and good potential growth. Not a hard thing to picture. I mean, and right now something's wrong. You know, I mean, I'm sure, Anthony, most people listening probably are not aware of this. You probably are. And by the way, Matt McClure is with us again today. You are aware of this, I'm sure, too, because you run all these shows. And I'm still so impressed that you did your work on the New York Stock Exchange. Did you get to meet the guy with the cow suit? You know, who you see on the news all the time, the guy with the cow suit?
Yeah, no, I miss cow suit guy. But I never got to make the acquaintance, unfortunately.
That would be my number one goal. Yeah, I know you have a job and all. Where's Matt? He's looking for the couch.
Right.
That's all I would be doing. That's all. I would show up one day after buying one on Amazon. I would be the second cow guy if I were you.
Right, yes.
Your business. So, and by the way, thank you for being here again after last week. I thought it was like a 50-50 proposition that you would return.
Right.
You guys do real financial shows.
Right.
All the shows you do are legitimate, and then you did us last week.
You guys didn't torture me too much. You know, I like it for a good change of pace.
Nice. You just kind of agreed with what I'm saying. Like, you do all legitimate shows, and then you did our show last week. You're like, well, yeah, it was a nice break from adult. It was a nice break from real shows. No, I know what we are. I know what we are here. I know who we are. So, you know, to put things to bed with Warren Buffett and trillion-dollar coins, you know, something that you two probably know and a lot of people don't, but you may want to look into it. There is something called an inverted yield curve. Hang on, I'm actually about to say something financial. This actually is good for you to hear. So an inverted yield curve. Let me give you an example. If you buy a 2 or 3 year bond, let's say a treasury bond, because they can back that up with platinum coins. So you buy like a short term, 2-3 years, and it's giving you, say, 3%. The natural assumption would be if you buy a 10-year similar bond, it would pay you a great deal more. Well, for the last couple of years, the curve has been inverted and the short-term bonds are paying more than the long-term bonds. That is not a sign of health. We told you months and months ago about bond auctions and bond auction tails and how the longer the tail is, the worse that is. This stuff is all really, really bad. You know, the only, we are now at the longest inversion in history. Picture 2008, picture the tech bubble of 2000, picture Black Monday in what, 87 or 88, picture the Great Depression. We have never had an inverted yield curve this long. The problem with inverted yield curves, when they uninvert, when it goes back to normal and you get more reward by more risk and you tie your money up longer, you get more return, that always has led to a recession. It has led to a depression. We are in such uncharted territory. We have never had $35 trillion in debt as a nation. No nation ever has had proportionate to this amount. And the inverted yield curve, it's right next to each other right now. The bond curve is about to uninvert every single time. One of them, it took almost 5 months to go into a severe recession. It's not always instantaneous. It always leads to problems. You know, we're in Sun City. We're on 98th Avenue in Bell Road in Sun City. If you'd like to sit down with us and talk about inverted yield curves or platinum coins, we're conveniently located in Sun City. So anyway, a lot of the questions we've had over the last couple of years, why, if I buy a one-year CD, do I get, say, 2%? No, let's use realistic numbers. Why, if I buy a one-year CD, do I get 5% right now? But if I buy a five-year CD, I get 4%. There is your CD equivalent of an inverted yield curve. It doesn't make sense. If I buy a five-year CD, I'm committing to you to leave my money other than a catastrophic emergency for 5 years. I get a 1099 every year, so I guess my question for them is, why in the heck are you buying a CD anyway when we have short-term fixed accounts through insurance companies that are guaranteed? So, but anyway, and by the way, your CDs have 1.17% coverage on that money under $250,000 per account. We can show you how to find that. Our insurance company, CD Alternatives, have 100% coverage on your money. So look us up. We'll help you with that. Anyway, so you need to be mindful of this because it's going on right now. And when this bad boy uninverts, which seems like it's imminent, there is going to be some changes. You know, and when I say we've never had $35 trillion in debt, you know what else we've ever never had? It's been ramping up for years, don't get me wrong, but it's getting to a peak, I would say. We've never had this much incivility. You know, we've never had completely open borders. We've never had problems with Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, open borders, you know, healthcare, political division to this level. We've always had those things to certain levels and certain degrees. They've always been a little bit more standalone. You know, you could get in a conversation with somebody about a social issue, abortion, gun control, you name it. You know, now it's an everything bubble. We're in an everything uncharted territory situation. So you got to wake up. So when I brought up new terminology, we've got a couple for you today. We've got a couple new terms for you that Anthony and I were not aware of until this week. That's why we love you listening to our show. You can listen to the other shows out there on the radio, like the ones that Matt produces, and they will talk about Roth conversions. They will talk about, you know, the time value of money, how much you need to save if you want to retire. You know what they're not going to talk to you about? Bail in. Make sure you familiarize yourself with that term. We're going to give you two new ones today that we just learned. One is the carry trade. And I'm not talking about John Kerry, who, you know, probably traded a lot of things over his life. It's carry trade. We're going to give you another one, the SOM rule. So these are ones we didn't even know until this week. Let's get you started with the carry trade. Then we're going to have to tease you because it's almost break time. But with the carry trade, here's if you want to read, you know me, I'm all I do is gather articles I've never had an original thought in my life. I just take those of others. So this week is no exception. Go and look up the Business Insider. They have a thing, Business Insider. The article is actually under Markets Insider from 8/6/24. So just this week. Let's see here. JP Morgan says the carry trade that pummeled the markets is only half done. So if you heard the term carry trade this week, right after the break, we're going to break it down for you a hair. But apparently it's the little mini explosion that happened 12% off the market in Japan, 10% off our markets, that Bitcoin plummeted. Bitcoin needs its own plunge team. That thing was down to $49,000 a coin. Oh, Bitcoin, $1 trillion platinum coin. I just realized something. They're both worthless, but that's a different thing. So anyway, carry trade. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and we're going to air it out a little bit. And hopefully Anthony has some stuff to say about it because we started the show with him talking and I loved it. So if you want to reach out to us, you can give us a call. We're at 623-523-0444. You can always email us your show ideas, your comments, your synopsis, whatever you have for us. Thank you, Kevin, every week at team@anothermoneyshow.com. And you can come in and sit down with us. We're going to talk to you about all the stuff we do here and regular financial planning if you wish. So we will be back in a minute. Thank you, as always, for being here. And Mike from Frank's Honest Auto, you're committing to the happy hour next week, our men's networking happy hour. So I'm super excited about next week. All right, we'll be right back. Thanks for being with us.
This is Another Money Show, except this one's different. This one's actually fun. At Rochford & Associates, we know the road to financial freedom is not a straight path, and the journey is different for every family. And in times like these, we want you to feel confident that you're safely on track to meet your retirement goals.
We want to ask you to prepare for economic chaos. We want you to prepare for bank volatility. We want you to insure and protect your assets with a smart plan.
Our team can help you make the most of your hard-earned savings using strategies that are right for you.
I want more people to sit down with us. When we talk about a financial plan, it's different for every person we meet. We tailor make our plans.
Schedule your no obligation consultation today by calling 623-523-0444. That's 623-523-0444. Rochford and Associates, veteran owned and proud to serve Americans like you. Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. If you like what you're hearing, be sure to leave us a rating and subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to Another Money Show. Thank you so much for being with us. Don't forget, we're here on 960 The Patriot every Saturday at noon, and they re-air the week's show on Sunday at 1 o'clock. So help us. We're little fish in a big pond. If you can tell your friends and family and neighbors and spread the word, tell them it's not a boring financial show. We're actually a show on current events and how they are likely to affect your finances and perhaps your life. Our motto is we want you prepared, not scared. We want you proactive, not reactive. And that's our weekly goal here. So thanks for being with us. Anyway, back to the carry trade, that article I referenced from August 6th. On Business Insider / Market Insider, it says here the yen carry trade unwind, which helped spark the sell-off in U.S. stocks, is probably only half over, a J.P. Morgan strategist says. Anthony, what did you read about this carry trade? How far did you get with it?
Well, I just wanted to know what it was. All the articles and things that we're hearing, because when the market does have these slight setbacks and everybody freaks out, I like to see what the reasoning is. And usually there's not a legitimate reason. And on this one, it's kind of the exact same story. What the carry trade is taking loans out in one currency and then reinvesting in another. So in this case, it's the yen. Basically, when 2020 COVID happened, we printed all this money, which caused inflation, which led to interest rates being increased in this country and in most of, well, most of the countries in the world. Japan did not. So Japan still has rates very similar to what ours were pre-pandemic. So what people are doing is they are trading in yen and taking in loans, because if you're going to take in a loan in a low interest rate, you only have to make, or you have less to make that up. And they are using that money on margin, of course, and they are investing over here into a stock market, which has gone up. So what has happened recently is that Japan is starting to raise their interest rates, and I'm seeing conflicting numbers, but what I'm seeing is between 15 and 25 basis points. For those of you that don't know what a basis point is, it's a hundredth of a percent. So we're talking 0.15 to 0.25%. A quarter of a percent raise has caused people to freak out and for there to be mass hysteria for like a day or two in the market for it to drop, at least here. I think Jerry even mentioned it dropped like 12% in Japan for their Nikita 225. So that is how fragile this whole ecosystem is. Our entire economy, everything is built on a fraction of a percentage will cause mass hysteria with people, because I got a ton of calls and texts. I'm sure JR did too. Luckily, our clients are not involved in any of this. And that's what I reassure people all the time is we're prepared. We're waiting for this to happen. We're waiting this for it to happen so our clients can be the ones buying in when things are cheap. But yeah, it just, so the whole carry trade thing, I've never heard that term before. It makes sense. It makes sense in theory. And the truth is, I don't see why they couldn't continue to work. I don't know why you wouldn't take cheap loans in Japan to reinvest here. The problem is when you start doing it on margin and the derivatives and you make everything exponentially worse at the gamble of trying to make exponentially better, cheaper. But it's gambling. It's all gambling. None of this.
Why do people do it?
Why?
Yeah, there's only one thing left in this country. What makes money move? Either fear or greed. This, when you look into it, it's clearly a greed play to make money. Clearly. But that's, I mean, the world we live in. But
shouldn't people be able to do that without ruining, you know, when should a 0.15% increase cause this much panic? No.
No, but the whole thing is it's a house of cards. So every little sneeze right now, what did we say last week? You know, if the tweet or X or whatever of a billionaire or somebody can, you know, a politician can make markets move, that's problematic. We have an illegitimate financial structure in this country. And what Japan showed you, it's not this country. It's 100% global. We are tied together with the rest of the world via social media, via our 24-hour-a-day news cycle that we didn't have when I was new in the job. We didn't have anywhere near the access to the world. I mean, right now, what am I watching? Number one thing I'm watching right now, Anthony, has nothing to do with finances. I'm watching to see if Iran is going to retaliate for the assassination of a week or so ago. Why? Because our markets are going to plummet. You know, one thing this article did say that was like, yeah, no kidding. Let me read one little thing from you here. Meanwhile, citing technical studies JP Morgan conducted, this dude, I don't know if I can say his name, Sandalia or something, said investor, sorry, Mr. Sandalia, if I slammed your name, said investor portfolios don't tend to recover quickly after experiencing technical damage from a major move, as markets have displayed over the past several trading days. You don't tend to get a V-shaped reversal back to where the move started from. All you tend to get is at least a good case outcome is stabilization in markets around current levels, maybe a shallow recovery at best, he said. adding that JP Morgan remained in a defensive mindset. So they're using some common sense on that part. JP Morgan, your analysts and your geniuses over there, do you remember COVID? It was a long time ago, so probably not. But anyway, during COVID, the month of March, we had the biggest V-shaped downturn and then upturn in the history of the world. Yeah, so that's what this is. This is a mini one of those. I'm kind of waiting for the next V, but I only think we're going to get half of it. And my gut feeling, if Iran retaliates, if there's a lot of election shenanigans, interference, fraud, or at least perceived, if the wrong candidate gets into office, if the BRICS nations in October come out and they really do say, which I still have my reservations, if they say they're going to be gold back, you know, they come out and tell the truth on how much gold they've picked up, and they say we're done. We got off the U.S. dollar. Saudi Arabia did for the 50-year compact they had with us on trading in the U.S. dollar. If all of this comes together around October, and they say we don't need the dollar, what are we going to do? Well, apparently we're going to unveil a $1 trillion coin. I can't let that out of my mind, that coin thing. What a crock of you know what. Anyway. We're in really, really uncharted territory. So this whole thing with the carry trade, what you're saying, Anthony, it doesn't have to go south, but the house of cards, any little thing can take it down. And that's an example. How come you and I a week ago had no idea what a carry trade is? Now we do. There's things behind the scenes that a small group of probably greedy individuals are privy to that we don't even know about. So anyway. Let's move on to another term. So, and by the way, when we say these things, if they pique your interest, go further. We only have an hour and I try to get to, 5 to 10 things a week. Go further, look up the carry trade and start seeing what you think. You know, maybe we'll start offering that service in our office, except ours is going to be K-E-R-R-Y. We want things to be more nefarious than just doing foreign exchange. So another new one, this one, it's called the SOM rule, and I hadn't heard of it before. Maybe I should have. So I have an article here from Market Watch on the 4th of August. You know what? We have never repeated an episode. Doesn't matter if it's New Year's week, Christmas week. We've been on here for 2.5 years and have never repeated an episode. You know the reason why? Because our show is about current events and how they're going to affect you. And it has to be timely. So on the 4th of August, I'm patting us on the head or on the back or something, a closely tracked recession indicator, the SOM rule, has now been triggered. Here's what that means. A recession indicator widely followed on Wall Street has just triggered by the July jobs report. But the person who created it doesn't think the U.S. economy actually is in recession right now. And Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell said the indicator doesn't carry any particular significance. This is fantastic. You know, the people that told me right before the Great Recession, the October of 07 through March of 09, they said the housing market is solid. They said the financial systems are stable. Go back and start researching how they told us everything's okay right before it wasn't. You know who told you it wasn't? Michael Burry. We didn't know about Michael Burry until the movie The Big Short portrayed him. And then we said, oh, yeah, it was pretty easy to see. So let me tell you something, kids. If you're listening to us, you see it more than the average bear. This next one, the popping of the everything bubble that's on its way, is really easy to see also. Anyway, so when Jerome and these people tell you nothing's wrong, trust me, grab your watch and start running. So, first, the data. With the unemployment rate reaching 4.3 in July, the three-month moving average of the unemployment rate is at least 0.5 percentage points above the minimum of the three-month averages from the previous 12 months. The SOM rule states that reaching the 0.5 percent level means there's a recession. I personally believe we've been in a recession, even though they won't call it that, for over 2 years. I personally think their baloney target 2% inflation numbers are just that, baloney. Give me a break. When you have inflation numbers that exclude food and energy, when you have another barometer that excludes housing, come on, we're being had here. So a little bit more about this, unpacking that. What the rule is basically saying, when the jobless rate is rising pretty quickly, the economy is slumping. The three-month average is important because it smooths out times where there's a quirk that only impacts unemployment rate for a month. The rule, named after former Fed, here's your key to why I don't trust this person. The rule named after former Fed economist Claudia Sahm is closely tracked because it worked in the past. You know, what do I say more than anything else on the show? We are in uncharted territory. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's going to work in the future. Sahm herself told Wall Street Journal that she actually doesn't think the economy is in recession. Good to hear, Sahm. Changes in the labor supply after the pandemic and the recent jump in immigration has diminished its usefulness, she says. Then why am I hearing about it all over the place? Then just let it go. Claudia, say you made a mistake. You never meant what you said. This is all baloney. So anyway, the Sahm rule. What? Any thoughts on this, Anthony? What is your take? Do you think we need to worry about this? Should we watch it? I noticed the job numbers weren't so scary today.
Yeah, I don't think it means anything.
Perfect.
Every day there's an article about an indicator that means something that's doing something else. This article even says it doesn't mean anything. So I'm not bothered.
It does, but if you go to page 2...
Yeah, but there's a ton of articles that say they do mean things and they don't end up meaning things, so what does it matter? Doesn't matter.
Everything you read is opinion. The stuff that you read looking back, you can actually see what's happened. Everything you read like this, that are we going to go into recession? Are we not? Are they going to raise rates? We don't know. And by the way, with the job numbers, they don't count people that have 2 or 3 jobs. If you have a job and then you have a side gig, they don't count that. You know, I think a lot of people that are here illegally are not being counted in their numbers. I don't think the job numbers are legitimate. Plus, something else I've noticed. Have you ever noticed they always redo them? They give you the numbers on inflation, unemployment, all these things, housing starts, all these numbers. And then they're never the same when they redo them a month later. They're like, oh, by the way, there was this. But we don't see that. We just see the initial shock. So one thing that, they kind of contradict each other here. It says here, Powell added, it looks like a normalizing labor market. Well, first of all, Powell, you came out a couple years ago and you said how to fix inflation was for the unemployment numbers to rise. If people are out of work, they can't buy as much. If they don't buy as much, simple economics, say that the price of goods and services fall. You wanted higher unemployment. You want this. You want inflation to come down by unemployment rising. And I think you're going to get your wish, but what do I know? So officially, by the Fed's own definition, the labor market is now on the wrong side of normal. The Fed's long-run unemployment rate forecast is 4.2. And now the jobless rate is 0.1% higher than that. Ooh, 0.1%, I'm scared. That doesn't mean that the U.S. economy is in a recession. However, the National Bureau of Economic Research, that's the old NEBR, defines a recession as a significant decline in economic activity that has spread across the economy and lasts more than a few months. I don't know, according to what I read about auto loan defaults and subprime auto loan defaults and credit cards being maxed out and people just living on credit cards and everything I read says that there is a problem in the economy. Maybe not for the ultra wealthy, maybe not for the ultra poverty level, but for the middle class, there is certainly a shrinking. So, and you're right, Anthony, the bottom line of the Sahm rule, it was a new term. So I thought we should dig into it. If people want to research it further, cool. But I'm going to be on your side and say it doesn't matter. We are going to know in the upcoming weeks, months, and years if we were in a recession, if we're going to go into a recession. I don't care. It's like World War III. You know, we might go to World War III. There's a big, huge Chinese warship as of yesterday trailing some of our ships. Huge, massive. I started looking at the pictures. I'm like, wow. You know, so that could lead to World War III. You know, China might go into Taiwan to re-annex that bad boy. That should happen in September, October. When I say there's a lot on the table for this fall, there really is. And by fall, I don't necessarily mean the autumn season. I mean the fall of our civilization. So Matt, back to Matt for a moment. I want to switch gears. Matt, I sent a video and audio clip to Matt to play because it's growing legs on social media. And it's basically there's a top Democrat working on a bill to take if Trump wins the election, if the right side of the aisle can have him win the election, even if there's, you know, imperfections with the voting and all that stuff. The Congress is working on not letting it go through. The reason this is so interesting is that we're a free country. If more people say put this person in, whether half the country likes the person or not, you're supposed to put the person in. I realize the divide. I realize the pendulum swing that really took off with Obama and then Trump and then Biden. I realize the division is the greatest it's ever been in the history of our country. I know that. But whoever legitimately is voted in office is supposed to be in office. This guy, his name is Raskin. Not really familiar with his work, but I'm going to start digging in, time permitting. So he is talking about Congress basically cannot let Trump in office. He was part of an insurrection. So Article 14, if you look up our amendments, I'm sorry, Amendment 14, let me, this will give you a little backstory to this video we're about to play, or audio. So Section 3 of Article 14 says here, no person shall be a senator or a representative in Congress or elector of president and vice president or hold any office, civil or military, under the United States or under any state who, having previously taken an oath as a member of Congress or any officer of the United States or as a member of any state legislator or executive or judicial officer of any state to support the Constitution of the United States shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof. But Congress may, by a vote of 2/3 of each house, remove such a disability. So behind the scenes, when I sent the clip to Matt, he said, yes, we can play it. But he gave me some backstory, which I greatly appreciate. What I usually do when I hear one of these stories or read an article, I try to find two or three sources just so I can see that there's some legitimacy. Matt went deeper, and I'm going to read what Matt wrote to me in email. I'm putting him on the spot right now. Matt, I hope it's okay that if there's a bus, I'm going to throw you under it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, so no Matt worries.
Matt put, yes, we can play it. He put here, here's some context for the Raskin quote. It's actually from a few months back. He was reacting to the Supreme Court ruling on the case where Colorado was trying to disqualify Trump from the ballot. The Supreme Court of the U.S., the SCOTUS, ruling said that only Congress could rule someone was disqualified for holding office. So what Matt put here to me and what I just read from the Constitution, the amendment, the articles, it's basically this has been going on for several months. They were working on this before it's really getting down to the wire with Harris and Trump looking like the likely nominees. So when people come out and they put this stuff, it's what do they call some of the social media stuff that makes you clickbait, fear porn, whatever you want to call it. So I'm watching these clips of Raskin and I'm like, holy cow, this is like, you know, you talk about what's going to lead to civil war and then maybe a revolution. This is the kind of stuff. Well, then somebody else can follow up with this, like Matt did, and say, this is not even what he was doing. This was months ago, and you're just talking about it now. So my putting the pieces together, this was months ago, but it's growing legs now because now they're frightened. They didn't want him on the ballot. So that's the first thing. They did not want Trump on the ballot. Second thing, they thought they could make him a 34-time felon, a guy who's like 78, never had a parking ticket, doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, and all of a sudden he's this notorious felon. So then they thought they could incarcerate him. Then apparently, hey boy, I got a tinfoil hat on today. Then apparently, they thought they could assassinate him. So there was an assassination attempt. And obviously, Anthony, I know you know this, but God intervened and said, that's my man for the job. So anyway, so now they're going to, if he wins, they're going to pull him using the 14th Amendment. Am I making too big of a deal about this? I just find it shocking that the news I read, the articles I read, it's insane what's going on. Matt, do you want to play the clip and let people kind of judge from themselves if they think this is problematic?
Sure thing. Here we go.
A Democrat congressman is actually talking about this.
Is Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which they're just disappearing with a magic wand, as if it doesn't exist, even though it could not be clearer what it's stating. And so, you know, they want to kick it to Congress. So it's going to be up to us on January 6, 2025, to tell the rampaging Trump mobs that he's disqualified. And then we need bodyguards for everybody in civil war conditions.
Civil war conditions? What? You're going to take it away from him if he wins?
What? Civil war conditions? Anthony, pillar number 10 is civil war. Now you've got Congress people saying the word civil war in conjunction with the next election. When I say to you, every election that I've been in my life, each one is the most important election I'll ever see in my lifetime. I'm not wrong. They keep getting exponentially more important. So you've got people in your government talking about coins to erase the debt and talking about like Congress power in civil war times and having bodyguards and squashing any kind of insurrection. Oh my gosh. Anthony, any input on this or do we move on because it's not financial at all?
I don't know. Well, I didn't follow that case closely. Was he found guilty of resurrection?
I have no idea. I mean, if I commit one felony, I'm probably going to jail. If I get a DUI, don't I go to jail for 30 days?
You're not an ex-president, so that's not.
You don't know that, right?
Was he found guilty or not? Because if he was found guilty, I mean, that's what the amendment says. It says that he can't be elected.
You are absolutely correct, but I think you better hang on to your hat if this is how this plays out. I always think, you know, if there was an assassination attempt on Harris a few weeks back, I think that night city would have burned. I think it'll finally wake conservatives up and people that lean to the right. If he wins the election and they say Congress two-thirds says you're not going to take office, I think January is going to be a bloody month in this country. I think that instantly. I think people finally do something about it, but I don't know. So,
I think he was found guilty on the business stuff. I don't think he had anything to do with
it. I thought January. It was on the stripper. Yeah. I thought it was on whatever
the
name was.
That's probably what it was. So if that's the case, then this isn't relevant at all to him.
No, but they're going to use it. But Anthony, they're going to pull up January 6th. This has nothing to do with his felonies.
But he wasn't found guilty on anything involving January 6th.
What's that?
But he wasn't found guilty on anything involving January 6th, was he?
Yes, but he's a felon now. He's a felon, and that was an insurrection. They didn't find him guilty of insurrectionism. They just said he's an insurrectionist. So they're going to say...
The amendment's not relevant to him.
It will be by the time they exercise it in January. Watch what they're doing. They're telling you they're working on it. They actually, in the article, which I don't have time to get to, said they're working on it. So, and I hate to say this to you, we didn't get too many articles. I want to take us out, but before I do, I just want to read the title to one because I want to bring it up next week just because I think kind of like the coin, it summarizes what chaos and ridiculousness is going on in our great country. Zero Hedge on the 4th of August. If you want to read it before next week's show, we're going to dig into it here. Taliban gets $239 million in U.S. aid after State Department fails to vet recipients. How's that for a cliffhanger and a tease? Next week, we're going to come in with how our government gives away money when we're dead broke and we need a $1 trillion platinum coin. So stay tuned for next week, kids. With that said, Anthony, say goodbye to people, please.
All right, well, that's it for today's show. If you like what you heard, you have questions on anything, reach out to us, team@anothermoneyshow.com. Give us a call, 623-523-0444. Until then, we'll see you next Saturday right here at noon, 960 The Patriot. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. You deserve to work with a private wealth management firm that will strategically work to protect your hard-earned assets. To schedule your free, no-obligation consultation, visit anothermoneyshow.com. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Rochford Financial are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results. At Rochford & Associates, we know you've worked hard to earn your money, and you've worked even harder to save it. When it comes to wealth management and planning for retirement, J.R. Rochford and his team of specialists have been helping individuals, families, and business owners find financial freedom at their veteran-owned firm for more than 25 years. Rochford & Associates also helps Americans like you with their insurance needs and estate planning so you can be protected from life's uncertainties with a comprehensive retirement plan. Let us help you protect and grow what you've worked so hard for. Take the next step toward financial freedom now by scheduling your free, no-obligation consultation so JR and his team can come to understand you and your family's specific needs, concerns, and financial goals. Give us a call now at 623-523-0444. That's 623-523-0444. Rochford & Associates. Lasting solutions for your family, your future, your life.